Hello, I'm Robert Bound, and today on the Monocle Arts Review, we're talking about photography. Joining me in the studio is art advisor and dealer Kathleen Fox-Davies, who's been running around the Grand Palais for this year's Paris Photo before popping back to London to soak up some of the art on show here in the capital. Kathleen, welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much.
Now, it's been a funny old time of things, as we were talking before we switched the microphones on, about about the state of the world right now and how, sadly, this doesn't seem to be reflected, at least in some of the photography, which is a very direct art form. Most recently, you've just come back, as we said in the introduction, from Paris Photo, the 20th edition in Paris. What was on the walls? Give us a little bit of a taste, an overview of the context of Paris Photo.
Well, I thought the 20th edition of Paris Photo was a really strong offering. It was a great fair to walk around. Mm. The mood was a bit different. The fair was closed down on its second day last year because of the terrorist attacks in Paris. So the dealers were a little bit apprehensive just about what they would find, what sort of collectors would come to Paris, might be scared away from coming to Paris. But all in all, I think everyone was very positive. More surprisingly, the artwork on the walls was very positive. It was a lighthearted fair. The material was beautiful, easy to digest, which, with what's going on in the world, politically, economically, socially, you would think that you'd find a little bit more protest art or artwork that's at least a sign of our times. And that wasn't quite the case this year.
I wonder how quickly you think dealers react to moments like Brexit. I mean, this is a European fair, and the election of Donald Trump in the United States. Are you dripped down after a few months and people being able to make statement works? Let's not forget this is a fair, not a biennale. Or do you normally see a quicker reaction?
I think a lot of fairs, at Basel particularly, you do see a bit more of the politicized protest artwork. Mm. You saw that with Art Basel Miami, with the Black Lives Matter movement, a lot of artists speaking to that directly. You saw that in Hong Kong a few years ago. I remember there being some quite scathing artwork about the Bush administration in the United States. I thought it was very surprising, and perhaps it was a decision on the part of the dealers with what to bring, being that it is such a questionable economic time for dealers and for collectors. They were bringing things that perhaps would be easier to sell and hang on walls rather than things that were really making a statement.
Yes, it's one of those things. We've asked this question when we've done shows at Art Basel and at Frieze Art Fair as well, that whether there is and to what extent there is a correlation between the conservatism and the pretty pictures that you hang over your fireplace, quotient, versus the political upheaval at the moment. And I guess there is.
I think there is. I think at the moment, people just want something that brings a little joy, because we're not finding it in the newspapers, for sure.
Yeah, right. And what caught your eye? Before we head off to your next topic, Kathleen, a couple of great galleries or a couple of particular artists, photographers that you'd single out?
I think there were always the blockbuster galleries that bring the showstoppers, and they're the same people that you look at every fair. So I'm going to skip right over that.
Yeah.
What I found interesting is this year at Paris Photo, there were over 30 new and first-time exhibitors, which for an art fair that normally has a wait list a mile long, that's quite surprising. But
I think it partly was to do with last year.
But I thought the Catherine Clark Gallery from San Francisco, it was their first time to show in Paris. I think it was their first time to show in an international art fair, full stop. But they had a solo show by an artist, and I'm going to butcher the name, Nina Kachaturian, who is this incredible woman, and the entire exhibition that they showed was self-portraits. And they were self-portraits taken on an iPhone in the lavatory of an international flight. And it was, they were quite bizarre. So she was recreating Dutch portraits. She was recreating Renaissance portraits using only the things she could find on the flight.
Cindy Sherman.
It was a little bit Cindy Sherman, but very much now.
Yeah.
And speaking, instead of, as Cindy Sherman did, to gender identity, she, or at least that's how Cindy started out. Obviously, she's evolved from there. But she was very much speaking to her own identity as being multicultural and American, having a Middle Eastern mother and a father from also another country, and also being identified as American-born.
Yeah.
And I think that very much was talking about what's going on
in America.
And the
idea of being in transit.
And being in transit, 40,000 feet, and using only the things at her disposal.
It was a great idea. It was very
humanizing, and it was just incredible. And it involves not only photography, but also video, sound. And it was a really compelling showing, and I thought quite brave for a first-time exhibitor.
That's amazing stuff. What's the attitude by other dealers when someone is exhibiting, probably beautifully reproduced, but nonetheless smartphone smartphone pictures when we're in the realm of, you know, of the Avedons and Herb Ritzes and Magnum photographers of the world.
There are the purists that will only show what you would consider photography, old school photography, taken with analog camera, film, printed in a dark room. But they actually sit really nicely in exhibition alongside the new age and the photoshopped and the blatantly contemporary. And that's what's so great about this fair is you kind of get a bit of all of it there.
Well, what a wonderful review of Paris Photo, which was, well, it was a couple of weeks ago, right?
Last week.
Yeah, in Paris. Where are we going next? Oh, yeah, we're going to David Zwirner around the corner in London. Thomas Ruff, who is the German artist. Again, we're on a photography tip. Give us a little bit of backstory on Thomas Ruff for our listeners.
Well, Thomas Ruff, obviously, German artist.
I gave him a bit of a weird French kind of accent when I said his name.
That's all right.
What's wrong with me?
Well, I'm going with it. German artist trained at the Düsseldorf School, and he has been a huge name in not only photography but also contemporary art. So he really bridges that divide that a lot of photographers find difficult, to live in both worlds at the same time. This exhibition is a continuation of a show that opened last year at David Zwirner in New York, but also it's speaking to previous series that he's put together over the last decade. It's incredible. The sheer scale of some of the works is quite surprising as you walk in. They really do confront you. What he's doing is he's working with press pictures. He's working with found objects, much in the style of sort of a Dada vanguard surrealism, but very much in the now. But they are archival press pictures, found objects from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And he is taking both the front of the image that's been really mistreated, bashed about. I mean, you have newspapers that stored these things in bin bags in their basements.
So this very much has the appearance of photography or archive.
They're archive images. They were used as a function for press. So it might have been to convey a social idea, political idea, propaganda, whatever it might have been, even science. A lot of these are focused on NASA pictures and space exploration, war imagery. But they've really been discarded. And he breathes new life into these by taking not only the front of the image for all of its failings and markings, but takes whatever was written on the back of the image and superimposes those. You've got scrawling handwriting, you know, editor's notes, what they wanted to make sure to press when showing this image. You've got crop marks. You've got the stamps of where it's been through agencies that it's passed
hands. This is kind of a bit of an art world in-joke as well, because everyone, you know, as you know, being a dealer yourself, everyone wants to look at the back of the cameras before they want to look at the front, or after they've looked at the front.
Exactly. They want to, not only they want to see it all, but it's taking something that's been, you're kind of looking into the, you know,
the provenance,
but also like the sock drawer of what's gone on with this work, and it's history, it's dirty laundry, and he's taking it and he's elevating it and giving it a completely new meaning. It was a discarded image, and all of a sudden it's huge in bright lights on a wall in Mayfair, and it's new. It's been reborn.
And is his take on this, do you think it is, well, all images are created equal in a sense that, and photography, whether it was simply a reportage picture that appeared on a newspaper that was tomorrow's chip paper 50 years ago, you are celebrating the fact that that image was in the world once. What's his take on it? Is it political? Is it art historical, I wonder?
He's definitely has the intent of reinventing and changing the meaning of the image. Mm. To what he's trying to say, I don't think that you know, standing in front of the artwork. And Thomas Ruff doesn't lend insight into the motivations behind each image, except that he was attracted to it. But you do stand in this gallery with all of these images from old world Hollywood. You've got dancers, you've got space, you've got car crashes, very Andy Warhol-esque. Mm. And it's this very strange feeling of almost a new modernism, of utopia failed, because you are looking at what was the new, the shiny, the amazing, the future back in the 1950s. But it's almost in a very strange
way. Balladian, sort of dystopian
thing. Exactly. Yeah. Almost as a failed modernism, an experiment gone wrong, and you're seeing it again. Now it puts you off balance a little bit.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is a really cool show.
Really great stuff. And Thomas Ruff, obviously a big name. I like the idea, it's quite a German idea of playing with context as well. It reminds me slightly of Thomas Demand, you know, making these sort of amazing paper sets of crazy moments in history or very sad moments in history or iconic things in history and shooting them and then throwing away the model and only ending up with a photograph. There is a sort of very German idea of history and context and things that matter.
That's exactly what he's discussing here. Yeah.
Okay, so that is Thomas Ruff, and he is on at David Zwirner in London's Mayfair until January the 5th. We're going to finish, Kathleen, with a trip to the Photographer's Gallery. Now, this is a show that sounds absolutely fantastic, sounds fascinating. No smaller subject, indeed, than feminist avant-garde of the 1970s. Tell us a little bit about this, the camera used as a political tool here, I guess.
This is a serious show.
Yeah.
I mean, it not only serious for the 1970s and the work that was being created then, but it really does resonate now. I know when looking at this exhibition and when I first saw it and seeing the press run up to it, a lot of the talk was about how this sits now politically with the discussions that are going on in a lot of the Western political elections that we had recently, but talking about the idea of a feminine leader and really reinventing what it means to be female. And these women, what they've done in this exhibition, it is over 40 artists from all over the world. You really think of feminism and feminist art in the 1970s being centered in the United Kingdom and in America, and this completely turns that notion on its head.
So I'd have thought a refreshing way of looking at it.
So you're getting a much more global perspective, but these women, these artists are approaching the subject matter in the same way. They're using the same themes. So it's showing that this concept of identity, of what it is to be female and what it is to be an artist and the muse at the same time, was really more universal than I think we ever could have imagined, particularly with, you know, the benefit of hindsight. But the themes they're talking about are just as important now. And you do see a lot of the more modern feminist artists, writers, songwriters discussing these very themes that these women were bringing to the forefront in the 1970s. There are over 200 images in the show. It is incredible. It's serious. It's very moving. Most of the artists are using their body. And this is being shown at the Photographer's Gallery. So it's photography and video based, but you do find with the 1970s and feminist vanguard art that it is mainly the photograph of how they've chosen to express themselves.
And their own and women's use of women's bodies.
Which
obviously has such a different gaze, whether it's self-portraiture or portraiture, a woman's portrait of another woman has such a different gaze. Massive sexuality, possibly, but just such a different way of looking at themselves and each other than a man
they're
might
forcing,
do.
They're subverting the male gaze, and they're forcing you to look at themselves as they see themselves or in another way, suggesting another mode of seeing. And by using photography, they were able to capture their performance art works, the ideas of dressing up in role play and the changing and molding of themselves. The actual exhibition is split up into four chapters, if you will. So they're looking at sexuality and the body politics and the idea of ownership of one's own body. They are looking at domestic agenda and identity within women really being defined by their place being in the home and the domestic sphere. You're looking at normative beauty, the ideas of beauty, and also the alter ego, the idea of masquerade and parody and what it means to be female. Can you be the working woman? Do you have to live within the idea of the goddess, the mother?
And the suit of armor you have to put on to do that as well.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's an incredible show. I highly recommend
it. Sounds fascinating.
Spend some time really reading the literature that they've put into this. I found one of the most interesting parts of this exhibition, they have a wall next to a huge blown-up image of one of Hannah Wilke's artworks. And it allows you to write your own notes and experiences on the works and how they affect you. And I thought spending some time actually reading how people are interacting and responding to this show was just as relevant as the artworks that they have on the wall.
It sounds amazing, beautifully explained as ever, Kathleen. And I'm just drawn to mind something that was last Friday's, a lot of the British press, I'm sure a lot of the American press as well, the first picture we've seen of Hillary Clinton since her election defeat was of her turning up to do a talk without very much makeup on.
She didn't have her hair blown out. She didn't have the makeup on. She didn't have her suit of armor that she'd been wearing through the entire election.
And I wondered, and there weren't bitchy comments, actually. I think it was almost the media saying sorry. I think everyone, you know what I mean? It was a strange moment, and it just reminded me of the subject of this kind of thing, the suit of armor.
It's all very relevant.
Yeah, yeah. Well, photo editors as much as curators
exactly.
Prick up your ears. Okay, well, that was Feminist Avant-Garde of the 1970s at the Photographer's Gallery. Before that, Thomas Roof at David's Werner. That's on until January the 5th. And we kicked off, of course, with Paris Photo at the Grand Palais, Kathleen's review of it, which finished last week. That brings us to the end of the Monocle Arts Review. My great thanks to our guest, Kathleen Fox-Davies. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound. My producer was Holly Fisher. And the show was researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when Luke Turner will be in to talk music. But for the time being, from me, Robert Bound, thanks for tuning in.